The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Bye, good afternoon. This is Man in Line on Manx Radio. We're open line today, so it's your chance to have your say, and the slate is absolutely clean. Whatever you want to talk about today, call 66 13 68, text or WhatsApp 166 177, email studio at manxradio.com. I should say, by the way, to listeners off the Isle of Man, if you want to text or WhatsApp, it's 07624. We don't know. Well, we don't know. They know the cost of the Liverpool ferry terminal. The infrastructure minister, Tim Crockall, said legal advice prevents publication, but confirmed approved funding totaling nearly £73 million has been exhausted. Obviously, there's something going on somewhere, and if there are legal issues and, you know, people suing other people and whatever, we're in the middle. Obviously, we don't want to compromise that. But he told the House a supplementary vote will be sought from Tynwald as infrastructure continues legal action to recover money already spent. Well, at least we've got the terminal anyway. Any thoughts on that? You heard Mr. Hooper, who was telling tales in school in Keys. Let's get to the phones now. Is Beastie with us? Hi, Beastie.
Customer, just now.
Well, Browger on my head.
Jolly good.
What's on your
mind?
How
am I? I'm poor. I'm following up on a phone call you had on Friday from Pat and yesterday from Stephen, and I feel as if I've gone to sleep and woken up in some dystopian nightmare of Franz Kafka or George Orwell. It's just horrendous. What is going on? What is going on?
This is about the post office, is it?
They somehow, we are being forced into not using money, doing everything online. We are faceless. We have to do what they, whoever they are, want us to do. And what we want to do is get on with our lives. We want to meet people in our post office, in our local post office. The people who are coming up with the ideas, whether they assume or whether they don't care, that everybody has a car, everybody is ambulant, everybody can get to their nearest big town, and everybody wants to. They totally, it's my card all over again, isn't it? They totally rule out the minority, of course it's a minority, who can't do these things. They just want to live in their local community, avail themselves of their local community's offerings, and not have to go to sometimes 15 miles away. How are they going to do that if they can't drive?
It's the compulsion, Beastie, that doesn't sit very easily, isn't it? It's basically do this or, well, you're on your own.
That's right, absolutely. And it's everything, Andy. I mean, all these smart meters, threat to the landlines, my card being taken away, although I believe that's coming back. And now you can't just pop down to your local post office where you see people and you spend money in the shop and you're helping it thrive and pay your electric bill. And I'm assuming, but it's not spelled out, does that mean the phone bill and the rates bill as well?
Well, not interesting. Rob Callister, the Onken MHK, has written to the post office. Obviously, it's announced restrictions on bill paying. Rob says, under the plans from April, there'll be nowhere, absolutely nowhere in Onken to pay for a TV licence, utility bill or government charges. He wants to know why Onken constituents have to travel to Douglas. Now, obviously, 40% of the Isle of Man's population lives in Douglas, Onken and Braddon. Onken's a fair chunk. And it, you know, it's partly in the countryside, but it's partly suburban. And the post office, this post office say they're doing it for regulatory and compliance reasons.
That's right. That's
they don't actually say what that means, do they? I mean, that could mean anything.
It means complying with regulations, but it's their own regulations that they've come up with.
One of the things, you know, often, Beastie, there are things trotted out about mental health and how, you know, not rubbing along with people, seeing people, a bit of company helps people with their mental health, particularly older people who may tend to live on their own. So
another point I was going to raise, exactly.
So
exactly.
Why are they taking that away? Because in 2 or 3 years' time, there'll be some bright spark in a committee that said, we need community hubs. Well, we used to have them. They were called post offices.
Exactly. It's got to be stopped, Andy. It's absolutely got to be stopped.
Well, this at the back of this, and I'm not blaming them because it's their job, there's an accountant with a spreadsheet somewhere, Beastie. There's an accountant...
But it's not the Isle of Mammon. It's the Isle of Man. In other words, people are at the heart of it, not money. Money is there to allow people to live their lives. It's to do with people. It's not to do with money.
Well, they say, don't they?
They say,
Beastie, that you don't know what you've got till it's gone. And when they go, if some bright spark pipes up and says, well, we should have community hubs and people need to see other people, and if we can combine that with paying bills, so much the better. Everybody will look gone out.
Yeah. I urge everybody to contact their local MHK and get them to ask questions and get this stopped. It has to be stopped. Had we had the right people in at the time, my card nonsense would have been stopped. And this has got to be stopped. It's got to be looked at. People have got to come first. But the point is, one of the points is, that somewhere, someone in government wants to get rid of cash. It's all to do with getting rid of cash and doing everything online, because then you are totally under someone, somebody's, some organization's control. Everything you do, every transaction you make is noted, and you can be controlled. You can be controlled.
One of the things they trot out, Beastie, is the fact that obviously we're very big on anti-money laundering on the Isle of Man, and we're going before the Beak in October of this year. Moneyval will come over and say whether or not we're on the grey list, the white list, or the stripy list, whichever one we're going to be on. And obviously, you know, if people have got wodges and wodges of cash, to some people that's very suspicious, Beastie.
But your £23.40 to pay your electric bill, that's not money laundering. Or is it?
Well, I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, on most occasions, I wouldn't imagine you're laundering criminal money by paying your electricity bill.
Yeah. It's all to do with control, isn't it, Andy? It's all to do with control and surveillance. And it's, as I say, it's a dystopian world. What's happened to the world that I used to know? Just let me have it for another few years, that's all. Then you can do what you like.
It'll be okay as long as you're around, you mean?
and other people of my ilk. But I urge, the reason I'm phoning is to urge people listening to contact their MHKs and get this stopped. Get questions asked that when did money come before people? And as you quite rightly point out, which was a point I was going to make, is that the post office, you're not just going there to pay your bills. You are meeting people and you're supporting your local post offices, because they'll be gone soon, because they're taking everything away from them.
Somewhere, you see, in the post office, in Isle of Man Post, there will be somebody with who's got an accountant's job or is in charge of the money, and they'll be looking at the profit and loss account. and they'll know what the solution is. They will know that obviously times aren't what they used to be at the post office. Let's put it that way. And they've got to, they're under the cosh to balance stuff. And it, you know, they'll shrug their shoulders and raise their eyebrows, because that's their job, to balance the books, beastie. And this is the way, one of the ways that we'll do it.
But it's got to be people first. That's what the post office is there for. For the needs of the people of the island. And is that person making that choice? Are they English? Have they come over from England and don't understand the Isle of Man at all?
All right.
Please, everybody, contact your MHK and get questions asked. Get this stopped. It can be stopped. It can be stopped. It's got to be stopped, and we've got to come back to people first.
Okay, Beastie, use Manx Pound notes as well. Thank you, Beastie.
When you can get them. Bye.
Bye. Thanks for calling today. Here we are with Howard now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. I agree entirely with Beastie there. Voice should be heard a lot more in government. Because remember, last year I said that the post office have a commitment now to be closing down a lot of the sub post offices.
Yeah.
And I was talking in particular about the spa shop, how that was going to be closing the post office and going to counter service only. Now it's coming home to roost. They're thinning them out, and I don't know whether the spa one in Annika will continue, but that serves a huge community up here, all around Farm Hill and Annika, the Cool and everywhere, and people coming down to that. And it's a community, as she says, it's a community area where the people in the post office know the people that are coming in, because they come in, it's a bit like a pharmacy. They know the ills and they know the good times of their customers and consider them friends. The post office is part of the community. And I said this last year, that the post office have an idea in their head that they're going to thin everything down until such times the government say it's not worth it because we're not making any money. But I just thought on there a few minutes ago while I was waiting, do the government still extract £1 million a year from the post office as some sort of fee? Because remember when they said a couple of years ago we would have made a profit, only we had to pay £1 million to the government.
Right.
And if they're still extracting it, why? If they're extracting money from the post office as such, then why are they doing that? Because they're taking the post office down to little more than lip service. But it'd be interesting to see, because as I say that they're taking all the bits and pieces out of it, so that it's got to the point where they're going to say it's not worth running it. And if they close the post office here in Annika, then an awful lot of people are going to have to go into Douglas.
Yeah.
Because remember, there used to be one at Saddlestone, in the shop at Saddlestone. That was a post office. Of course, Annika here, they had one in Paul Rose. All sub-post offices, and they knew the community, they knew the people. And the government only seemed to have pounds, shillings and pence in their eyes.
Well, the thing is, Howard, we all want the government to be, if you like, circumspect with our money. We want the government to use public money very wisely. The trouble is that we don't know what the costs are. They're saying, you know, we need to do this and we need to do that. If we could actually see the books and just see what the trend is, we don't know. Obviously, people buy far fewer stamps than they did because of the email and this, that and the other.
Yeah.
Couriers have taken a lot of the work. So we don't quite know what state the post office is in.
The post office are saying the parcel deliveries are on the up. So has somebody got to walk into Douglas with a parcel where they could walk 200 or 300 yards, yeah, or less than that to go to a post office? I posted a load of stuff at Christmas, and posting and receiving post all the time. And our postman, this is one of the things where he knows who's who and what. He came to the door with a parcel. I'd sent it away to the son-in-law. and it had two labels on it, one with his address on it, and then he put an address on it to send it back to me. But he'd forgotten to take his own address, so it had a Stoke-on-Trent address on it and an Isle of Man address.
Right.
It eventually ended up back here. And the postman said, "Hey, Howard," he said, "I think this is for you." He said, "I'm not too sure," he said. And I said, "I know what it is, yeah." I said, "It is for me." But the son-in-law had left his own address on, and they were sufficiently wise within the post office here of a personal disposition to know that was mine and coming back to the island.
Yeah.
And that's how it should work.
And that's the thing, Howard, the Isle of Man is a group of communities. It's a lot of tiny villages, and most people know other people. If you don't know somebody, you know somebody who knows them. That's the way it's always been.
But yeah.
I just wish that the government would, or somebody would say, this is the position the post office is in. They've got the Amazon contract, so that's helping them, and mm-hmm. what have you. But this is what we need to do, and this was what we'd like you to do. If they can engage the public in helping the post office, I'm sure we'd all pull on the same rope.
Yeah, but since the ministerial system was introduced to the island, the people that are in MHKs, and I can't see how the MLCs have got a vote because they were never elected by the people. They've been busy fighting and arguing about the bishop's vote. Yeah, there's another lot sitting behind them that was never elected. But they consider themselves the elite now. We are an MHK. There are a couple of them in there that are good and helpful. The rest of them, they just seem to put themselves above everybody else, and we know best and you will do as you're told. And a prime example of that is what I was coming on for initially. I see, according to the websites, etc., that they're now putting tenders out for the construction of a seawall from the war memorial to the sea terminal end.
Right.
So that's going to be, the tenders are hoping to be out and in place by September. In other words, all the ones that are in there at the moment, the majority of them either are out on their backsides or they'll be back in again gloating that we've done best. And the problem with the thing is a lot of the people that's in the DOI within the government, and Beastie's just said this, are comeovers. What we used to always call when we were younger is not comeovers, they were the visitors. The stopovers are the ones that half of them are failed county councillors and come to live in the island, and we'll show these plebs how to live. And they've never lived on an island. Half of them haven't even seen what the sea is. I've watched that sea down there in Douglas, and I'm 80-odd now, all my life. And it's never been any different. It's always come over.
Yeah.
And the Victorians designed those sea walls to turn as much back as they can. And they used to put the woods in to stop the waters going into the gardens and down the paths.
Yeah.
But looking at the videos I saw of them, they hadn't even been wedged. So the first wave that come in lifted them out of the slides. But they're talking as they're going right through to the sea terminal end now. And the thing that made a big fuss about the glass being blown out of the windows down there at the sea terminal, that, somebody will tell me maybe how old they are, but I can remember them in the 1960s. And the Dublin boats used to come in that side because that's where customs excise used to position themselves in. That was an undercover walkway when they come off the boat, just like they used to be on the Edward Pier.
Yeah.
And they took the top and the roadside part of it down and just left the glass. And they're cast steel windows, the window frames. So they're, 60, 70 years old minimum.
Yeah.
And they've deteriorated salt water, naturally. So the first decent blow like we had last week, well, it just put the finishing touches to it. But the ones that are doing all the designing of this, they've probably never seen a sea before. It's going up and down and lumpy. We watch it all our lives, and people have been saying about where they put that wall in at Broadway. The first thing that happened in the storm, and I don't know who it was, said, "Oh, it was your own man, Alex Brindley. The stones had gone over the top. washed back to the wall and blocked the holes up that were supposed to allow the water egress. And we were back to square one. So a computer doesn't know what the sea does. It's rubbish in and rubbish out. That's
so
what you get from it.
Sorry, Howard, you're saying that they're putting planning permission in for a solid sea wall from the war memorial to the sea terminal?
Yep, they're asking, well, not only planning permission, they're seeking tenders.
So do you think that's why they didn't bother replacing that plastic blue stuff that had rusted inside the fencing there? Presumably that's why they didn't do that, because they knew at some point in the future they were going to be building a wall.
Yep. Well, they proposed that a while ago, and people objected to it, and it just put under the back burner for a while. But now I saw this on the website, one of the local news websites, that they're looking for tenders, and I don't know that wasn't in the Courier, but seeking tenders to build a wall from the war memorial, continuation of it, right along through to the sea terminal.
I just wonder, do you think that the people think that nobody remembers, Howard? Do you think that they think that nobody remembers? I got a message in from Norman, Howard, who said they're talking about the fact they want to protect the sunken gardens and this, that and the other. Norman said that was a yacht pool at one time. It was a model yacht pool. It wasn't a sunken garden. It was a pool.
Yes. No, there were sunken gardens because, as I say, I served my apprenticeship with the Corporation Parks. I'm going back a long while.
And where was the yacht pool, the model yacht sail?
Where Tower House is, where the play area is now, or was before it got washed away, that was the boating pool.
Yeah.
I fell in it many a time. But that was we used to number them. Number one garden, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And number 6 garden down at the gatey end actually has a small fountain built into the wall with a plaque that gives you the history of when it was built and who opened it up and who designed it, and are they going to destroy all of that? But as I say, when I was down in the gardens, and I'm going back to the 1960s, we had a flood like this, the walls came down, and I got sent down to have a look to see after the tide had gone out. And all the drains, and people will tell you, the building trade will tell you, there was salt, salt line drain. The drains themselves, they were, I can't remember there was a particular type, and it was a glazed, salt glazed drain.
Yeah.
And they were smooth. And there was hardly anything. I think if you got a cup full of mud out of them, all the water had gone back out to sea. They were designed in these cases for the gardens to empty through the drains and back into the sea.
Okay.
And I suppose it's still there, the reservoir used to be in Summer Hill. That used to feed the water coming down through the gardens. And we had taps all the way along through the gardens under the path. But these things, people who come to live on the island, people who are in government now and sitting in front of their little computers, know nothing about that, and they can't see it. They can't see. They've never lived on an island. They've lived in a city or a town somewhere, and all they could look at is glass windows. We don't. We look at a beautiful island.
Okay. All right. Howard, we appreciate it. Thanks for being with us today.
Take care. Bye now.
All right, 29 minutes past 12, and David's with us now. Hi, David.
Hi, Randy. Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Great. I've always got to check now, in case you cut me off. Listen, I want to talk about the golf links, and I want to talk something nice, actually, now.
Yeah.
The deal's been done, isn't it, now that Mr. Van Meulen, that owns the golf course, has bought the old golf links, and it's going to create something different there now. Is maybe a 30-bed unit, and then improve the particular area.
Yeah.
And, of course, stand on and then give the or sold the land to one of the charities on the point there. So what a positive step that is. And I think as we go through this year towards the election, it's up to us as a population to say to these politicians, we want something positive done before you're out. And that would be one of the things we could actually do as the listeners here, because the politicians, some of them don't listen to you. And I applaud and I do support Rob on Onchan regarding a post office in Onchan there. We why would you want to drag parcels up to in the B&Q end or something like that?
But I mean, David, isn't it unthinkable that Onchan won't have a post office where you can do that?
Yeah. Well, we used to have a bank. And now it's a restaurant.
Oh, you had more than one. I mean, there used to be the old Barclays Bank in Village Walk, and before that at the top of Royal Avenue.
Martin's Bank, yeah. Well, I don't remember Martin's Bank. I'm too young for that. I'm not old enough. But I want to say a thing for the post offices, because I've got to say this, is they've got planning permission to put PV panels on the roof, and they're going to do it.
Good grief, really?
They are. I've heard that. I haven't had confirmation yet. I've emailed Stu Peters. Hopefully, Mr. Peters will probably... Well, he won't be listening now. They'll be going towards their lunch break, won't they, in the Keys. But if that's a thing, what about the schools? Why can't the Minister for Education now follow suit and we spend some of the money wisely by putting PV panels on all the schools? All the summer, Andy, if you were living next to a school, you could plug in for free, couldn't you?
Well, it's a thought, isn't it? But you just get the feeling, well, you know, if only they'd just tell us the truth. We all understand the thing in government. There will be confidential secrets. There will be commercial confidentialities. We know that. But it will be nice to know as much as possible, David.
Yeah, and the big contract was the promenade anyway, and the boating thing in Liverpool there. There will be arguments over what was extras, but we used to say in the olden days anyway, you used to have confirmation from the chief executive or a minister that a variation to contract. When you're talking to politicians in future, Andy, the word on your wall is going to be is, what was the variations to that contract and how much was it costing? And who authorised it? And that's the way to do it.
I'm just trying to remember. How many post offices were there in Onchan at one time?
There's only ever been two, as far as I'm concerned. Anyway,
wasn't there one at Port Jack at one time?
Yeah, no, there's still one at Port Jack. Oh, I haven't been there for a long time. That was in the spa shop as well. Which was a good idea, because it bring business to the spa shop, and it brought business back to the post office. And if you're doing two things at once, don't you? If you're going somewhere, you don't do one thing, do you? You do, I'll shop here and I'll shop there. It's when you buy all these things, you know, and then they worry about people. I mean, it's amazing, really, at the end of the day, really. You can order something on Monday or you can order it on a Sunday and it'll be here by Wednesday if the boats are going.
Yeah.
And are we ever going to beat it? The answer's no. So we've got to be more efficient where we are on the island.
Yeah.
And the biggest thing is going to be is we need to get that fella on the phone. That responsible for the Isle of Man or Link now, and say to him, when was the last time you visited the island? He probably never been here or doesn't know anything about us, and invite the fella over for Timbal Day or whatever ahead of time and say, Duke, look, this is the island, this is what we do for England, and it's a destination, aren't we?
Okay. All right, David, we appreciate it. Thanks for being with us today.
See you, boy.
Okay. The owner of Castletown Golf Links Hotel says he wants to produce a building that speaks of greatness. His name is Philip Vermeulen, and he bought the building from Dandara, and he's now overseeing its demolition. In fact, a short stretch of Fort Island Road's closed until the 2nd of March for the demolition of the old Golf Links Hotel. The closure's in place by the old hotel and onto Fort Island. So if you normally wander around there, that's what all the mess is and all the noise. What exactly is going to go in its place is still being decided. Philip Vermeulen says he favours a five-star hotel. At Derby Haven, a five-star hotel of between 30 and 35 bedrooms, which will complement the surroundings right next to the golf links, the actual golf links to the seaside golf course. Mr. Vermeulen said, we've got to polish this diamond so that when people walk here, they walk into greatness. ambition. How about that? It's understood Mr. Vermeulen's got plans to submit an application for the new development later this year.
Manx Mobility in Onchan have it all. Daily living aids, wide-fitting shoes, rise recliners, beds and scooters, including lightweight and airline-approved models. Call in and see how our expert team can make your life easier. Manx Mobility at the top of Summer Hill.
Ready to dance? Hospice Isle of Man bring you the Swagelog Step Up Dance-a-thon, a 24-hour music-driven fundraiser. From 6pm on Friday the 20th of February at Wetherspoons Conister Arms. Join for a 3-hour slot, take on the 12-hour team challenge, or go all in as a 24-hour hero with themed slots for all music tastes. Any movement counts, even chair dancing. Step Up Dance-a-thon for Rebecca House Children's Hospice and the Children's Centre. For details and to register, click hospice.org.ir/dance-a-thon.
Construction waste today.
Tells recycle for another day.
A builder's skip or two.
Tells skips will bring to you.
Need quality type 1 stone for your building or contracting job? Then contact Tells with no minimum order for collection or delivery. Call 677-137. Visit Tells Limited in Snugborough or find Tells Limited on Facebook.
Skips are what they do.
We're the guys that hire one to you.
Call Tells Skips today.
677-137.
Offering a high-quality education from years 3 to 13, Benbridge Academy provides an alternative choice for students and families. Our online curriculum gives you the opportunity to take control of your child's education with a pathway that meets their individual needs. Small class sizes and excellent pastoral care allow our students the freedom to thrive. For information or to book a free trial, call 873 139 or download our prospectus at benbridgeacademy.co.uk. Embrace the future with Benbridge Academy.
Are you a small charity here on the Isle of Man? Are you looking for volunteers, hoping to raise awareness and chasing those crucial pounds and pennies to support your work? Well, Manx Radio can help. You could be our next 1-3 Charity of the Week. With daily on-air coverage, podcast and social media promotion, we can help support you and those you help. Just email the numbers 123@manxradio.com and listen out for the feature each weekday between 1 and 3pm. The Charity of the Week, brought to you by Kell Properties.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
23 minutes before one Tuesday afternoon on the Isle of Man, and Juan's on now. Hi, Juan.
Hey, Andy, how was your week off?
Oh, it was very, very relaxing, thank you.
Good, good, yeah. I'm sure Alex enjoyed the whole week on the show. He loves doing The Man in Line.
never happier.
Yes, I know that smile on his face. Just listening to your comments there about the Golf Links Hotel, Philip de Noonan, and said, polishing a diamond, there's only a South African that could relate it to diamonds, isn't it?
I'm glad you got that, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little gem of a statement, wouldn't you say? I think, well, he's definitely got the money to do it, so let's hope it works out well. The post office in Onchan, we're talking about post offices there, and I remember some time ago, actually, ShopRite actually made an offer to the post office to relocate it into the village walk and actually put a community bus on around the town to bring people up there. This is some time ago now, but that was refused because they said that the location on Main Road was so popular for people and it was central for Onchan for people to not have to climb up the hill and everything. So, I mean, it was a very, very well-used entity within Onchan. So,
and that, the thing again, is that people find this sort of stuff misleading when they say things like that and say it's very popular, it's very well-used, and then suddenly, oh, it's not now.
Because it suits their purpose now to change it. I also have in my mind, I mean, this is something I don't know whether it can be changed back now with the advent of Amazon and other carriers now, you know, so active. And I wonder whether, you know, they put someone like Stu Peters in there. You know, let's find the MHK who's going to give us the most problems in the next 5 years. And let's load his desk up with papers on something that he can't change. Because the post office is definitely a changing times with that. And I don't know whether we can go back to where we were with it. And also another thing there, just before I go on to my main topic, you're talking about Howard's talking about the seawall. And again, I think Howie does it in a lot of his programmes. You know, nothing's new in history. I remember as a child going, standing on the benches underneath the Villa Marina Arcade, watching the sea roll right over the road and virtually underneath the bench. And that's going back a few years. So it's nothing has changed. And, you know, the sea wall, I don't know how much difference that's going to make. It's certainly going to make a lot of difference to our taxpayers' money, that's for sure. But in the great scope of things, it's something that they have in their mind that they want to do. They've been advised by people, like Beastie was saying before, people who come over with these ideas of what they want to do with climate change as their primary thing to scare people and net zero, and that's in their mind that they want to do. But there's nothing changed in hundreds of years of the promenade. It is what it is, and it's all reclaimed land. And my main topic this week, odds today, is, you know, again, reference what Beastie was saying about the changing aspect of the island and people who are not islanders trying to influence the change here. In America, there's a massive talk at the moment about ICE agents and what they're doing within America and how they're tackling certain situations. And I want to refer that back to the Isle of Man, to what's something that's happened over the weekend, without talking about the case per se. But the dealing of the situation in Ramsey with the armed police, and I've spoke about this many times now, about the changing aspect of policing on the island. And looking now at the video, which has gone quite viral around the island now, of the police on the bus arresting the suspect, and looking at a few of the videos that came through at the time, and I wonder, Andy, where is this heading? And I've said this before: we've got police now going on buses masked, so you can only see their eyes, in assault gear, with high performance rifles. On a bus, has any of this been actually thought out? It seems quite bizarre to me, and it is a stark change on the island. You've got people sitting on the bus with their hands behind over their heads, with this type of military aspect policing, and also to empty a supermarket and or a car park for a blade juice. And I'm not trying to down the knife situation or the blade situation, but this is extreme, and I don't know what kind of messaging is sent out with this, Andy, but it's definitely trying to normalise this situation, and I don't feel that for the Isle of Man that this is going in a healthy way.
I'm not speaking on behalf of anybody, but I'm just thinking about this. You would imagine somebody somewhere as risk averse, i.e., If that situation, and again, it's nothing to do with us, but let's just call it hypothetical. If that situation had gone badly wrong and the police hadn't been seen to do all they can, fingers would have been pointed at the police.
If the sun shines at night, it would be a different world. And this is the thing about normalisation, Andy. Russ Foster will come on this programme and he'll say, I'm defending my officers and I'm caring the community, etc. But, and again, I refer back to, I've spoke to police commanders, who previous police commanders who've been on the island, and they say there's no need for this. That's their purpose. That, and I've had a debate with Derek Flint on politics pages about this. And obviously Derek Flint's got a dog in the race, because he was involved in setting this up. But I don't feel that this is necessary at this stage. And I know we have some high net worth criminals on the island.
Oh, we've got some bad boys on the island. Let's not
kid ourselves. We always have done, Andy. We always have done. And if people think that we haven't, then I'm sorry, but we always have done. But now, more so in the last 4 or 5 years, it looks like the AG's office has seriously slipped up, leaving loopholes in the system. And Jane Poole Wilson needs to answer to that as well, of the situation that we're in with migrant situation and the loopholes that's been left. The amount of people that's working in the AG's office that they've left this back door open is despicable. It's not really good at all. But, you know, back to the comments of the policing. We've got high performance rifles in a very, very small area on a bus. Where was the taser deployment? They've got enough tools on their belt there to stop this situation, but not once did I see a taser being drawn. They went straight to having assault rifles there. I just really think, and I live in areas where most of the police are armed. It doesn't stop it, Andy. I was in an area before Christmas. There was 19 murders within a 10-mile radius of where I was. Every police officer's armed. It doesn't stop it. I just think that this is normalising something on the island that at this present time we don't need. I do think we've got criminals there, and the police should know how to tackle that without scaring the public. I mean, if you've got old people going out on bus rides, which we do a lot on the island because they've got free bus travel, to have that happen, are we talking about mental health issues?
Yeah.
What about the people on the bus who go through that?
Well, it certainly takes the fun out of it, put it that way.
Absolutely, yeah. You're certainly getting free entertainment there for your money, that's for sure. But that's my view on it, Andy. I think the island is going down a road, like Beastie said, of somewhere where I don't think we need to be.
Okay.
Somewhere where we can change it without doing this.
Appreciate
Cheers,
it.
Andy.
Good to hear from you. Thank you, June. 14 minutes before one. Ross Foster, Chief Constable, will be on Man in Line in the next couple of months. We'll certainly talk about that. He's talked many times in the past about what his obligations are as Chief Constable. And the rule book says if a weapon is being used, any weapon is being used, and the police are called out, they are entitled to an armed response. Now, I just wonder what your opinion is. Is that fair, or is it a sledgehammer to crack a nut? The infrastructure minister has again refused to disclose the cost of the Liverpool ferry terminal. Tim Crookall, MHK, says legal advice prevents publication, but confirmed approved funding totalling nearly £73 million. They quoted when it was started under £40 million for it. He told the House of Keys a supplementary vote will be sought from Tynwald as the Department of Infrastructure continues legal action to recover money already spent. Somebody's obviously being sued, and there are obviously legal costs involved. The Ramsey MHK, Laurie Hooper, pressed Tim Crookall for the figure before threatening to reveal it himself.
Previously, the department was unable to release the capital figure for the Isle of Man ferry terminal Liverpool project due to an ongoing dispute between the department and the delivery teams. I can confirm that the department is working closely with its legal advisers to resolve the ongoing disputes, so I am unable to release the final figure for the construction of the Isle of Man ferry terminal Liverpool at this time. I am very aware that honourable members of this court, along with the public, are keen to understand the total cost of the Liverpool project. And I wish to bring this project to an end as soon as possible. However, at this time, having taken legal advice, I am unable to release this figure as we are in the process of legal discussions and would not wish to compromise our position.
So I'm just going to put the Minister on notice here. I know what the number is, roughly speaking, because I was in the department. Seeing as every time I ask a question, I seem to be getting accused of, well, I mustn't have done my job properly if I don't know the answers to these questions. I'm going to give the Minister an opportunity now to actually provide that information to this Honourable House before I do so in my final supplementary question.
Reply.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would not recommend the Honourable Member to put any other figures out there at this time because it may well compromise our permission, our condition with other with the contractors.
Mr. Hooper.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I wonder if the Minister would agree with me that the figure is now somewhat north of £100 million in terms of the final overall cost of the ferry terminal.
Laurie Hooper, Ramsey MHK.
When the Man in Line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
My everyday used to feel fine. Now it feels elevated.
Better decisions, better outcomes.
Support when I need it, freedom when I don't.
With no monthly fee, dedicated relationship management and a world of global benefits, HSBC Premier is designed to elevate your everyday. HSBC, opening up a world of opportunity.
See website for details. T's and C's apply. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme, as set out in the Depositors Compensation Scheme Regulations 2010.
Ramsey, Douglas, Castletown and Peel, the Ferry Bridge and Laxey Wheel, point of air to the sound of man. Explore the island with Camperman. Whether it's an island staycation, a trip to the UK or a tour of Europe, do it in style with Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire. Fabulous accommodation, the open road and stunning views await you. Start planning your dream adventure. Call Camperman Luxury Motorhome Hire now on 30 40 87 or find us on Facebook.
Oh, blowing a hoolie out there.
Come in for a bravig by the fire. Just stocked up at Hearth. Never been so warm.
Who's that? Hearth?
Aye, they've got kiln-dried hardwood for me log burner. Colombian coal and smokeless ovals for the open fire. Kindling and firelighters all delivered. Great value too.
All goes up the chimney anyway, so I pay more. I'll be giving Hearth a call.
Check their website as well. Just order and they deliver.
For all your fire fuel needs, call Hearth on 560 577 or visit hearth.co.com.
Have you got your Manx Radio Gold open and closed door sign on display? If you put the sign in the entrance of your business, you could win 3 months of free advertising on Manx Radio Gold in 2026. Need a door sign? Email sales@manxradio.com and we'll get one straight to you. And if your door sign is already up, send us a photo and we'll put your business into the prize draw. Manx Radio Gold is the perfect soundtrack for your workplace, with fewer interruptions and only the greatest hits on earth. On your smart speaker and at gold.manxradio.com.
Manx Radio Gold.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
9 minutes before one. Bonzo's with us now. Hello, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Just hearing everybody talking about policing.
Yeah.
In Ramsey, especially with armed response units. Now, you were saying that under the police procedures, where there's a bladed weapon incident in a public place, they can call upon armed support.
Yeah.
They're entitled to it. Yeah, but that doesn't mean you have to do it. And also it depends how you implement it. And I remember seeing, recently, of course, there had been Riot Women, the television series about the older women who formed a band.
Yeah.
And at the start of it, one of them, who is a police sergeant and she's just about to retire, ends up being called to a bladed weapon incident in a supermarket, which the person who then ends up singing in the band is going around wielding the bladed weapon. She clears the supermarket, but hasn't called in the SWAT team, and she tries to talk her down and manages to talk her down and then disarm her, even after a little bit of a struggle. So, and that was in portraying somewhere in a Yorkshire town, in the Dales of Yorkshire, whatever. And that kind of idea of you use the minimum force necessary seems to be not quite within current Ironman constabulary policy. Now, Russ Foster, as I remember rightly, wasn't he a national lead on counter-terrorism?
Well, certainly West Yorkshire.
Yeah, yeah. So, and I know he explains this by saying, yes, the drugs trade from the northwest has now made the Isle of Man an outstation, therefore higher levels of violence are to be expected. Yeah. And people, when they respond to something, don't know if there's going to be a firearm involved. But in this particular case and in other cases, there are questions where the firearms unit can come along, but it can stay back. It doesn't have to be front and center. And I don't know the circumstances, but why then the armed officers then had to get on a bus with the Hecklerkopf HP5s, the machine pistol, and have everyone put their hands over their heads, etc. I'm not quite sure about about that.
Is there any suggestion there that Mr. Foster, Russ Foster, would be damned if he doesn't, damned if he doesn't? Because if anything went badly wrong, all fingers would point at him.
Yes, but that doesn't mean that you have to have a sort of maximum force way of doing it. You can actually have the armed support available, but at a distance, without having to sort of go up and surround everybody on the site. You should apply minimum force first, or the minimum safe possible force first, and then go to the, rather than we go into all complete response mode, at a particular junction. I mean, the thing about the bus as well, the armed officers, is slightly worrying when you remember incidences like the Charles thing that happened in London, the female commissioner of the Met was in charge of the operation. And they went in onto the tube, guns blazing, and there were casualties. Mm.
Do you think are we going to slide towards that level of violence, or do you think the Isle of Man will always remain a backwater, Bonzo?
Well, I mean, it's not a backwater as goes crime, because of course we have financial crime.
Yeah.
Up to our eyes, and of course there is the drugs trade, but then again that's an issue of also about how we decriminalise and such in order to take the incentives out for the people from the northwest to bring drugs in and get a premium price for them into the island. But I think we should try and establish at least, given we are a community, an idea of community policing first, and then we have an escalation ladder rather than, cat up a tree hissing at people. We bring out the cavalry with large amounts of weapons.
Appreciate it, Bonzo. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, then. Cheers. Bye.
I walked the promenade after both recent storms. The areas where there's no wall were covered in debris, while the areas with the new wall weren't. On these occasions, the wall did exactly what it was intended to do. I do agree the post office needs to publicise the drop-off points for Amazon parcels and similar services, as many of these are now free, which is progress. Also been some insulting comments about stopovers. The UK is a huge island, and their coastline is beautiful. That's it. Thanks for calling today. Thanks for being involved. Thanks to Chris on the phones. If you want to get involved out of hours, email maninline@manxradio.com or call the answer phone. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday. WINT.